to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
And folks, for our LGBTQ plus Americans, let's finally get the Bipartisan Equality Act to my desk. The onslaught of state laws targeting transgender Americans and their families. It's simply wrong. And I said last year, especially to our younger transgender Americans, I'll always have your back as your president so you can be yourself and reach your God-given potential.
That's President Joe Biden speaking favorably of the Equality Act during Tuesday's State of the Union address. It was one of his promises going into his election that the Equality Act would pass. What is in it, and how would it affect the average American? Is it really good for people who have gender dysphoria or transgender identities? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about President Biden's support for the Equality Act during his State of the Union address. Joining us to talk about President Biden's support for the Equality Act during his State of the Union address, Dr. Erin Brewer. She developed a transgender identity after being molested in first grade. She's co-founder of Advocates Protecting Children and author of the books Always Erin and Transing Our Children. Dr. Brewer, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for addressing this important topic.
What's your reaction to what the president had to say about the Equality Act on Tuesday night?
Well, my reaction is that he has bought into a state-sponsored ideology, something like a religious belief system almost, that it's possible for people to be born in the wrong body and that the appropriate response for that is to embrace that false identity rather than helping people to manage to live with their difficult feelings and even heal those feelings. When he talks about having the back of transgender children, basically, what he's saying is that he encourages these children to really solidify a dissociative identity and to damage their bodies, retard their growth and development with puberty blockers, damage their healthy bodies with cross-sex hormones, and mutilate their bodies with elective cosmetic surgeries in order to look more like the opposite sex, rather than getting the help that they need to manage difficult feelings.
What would the Equality Act do? What is in it? In general terms?
Well, there are a couple of things that it would do that would be incredibly detrimental to children especially, but all people suffering from gender dysphoria, one of which is that it would make so-called conversion therapy illegal. And for those who don't know, the term conversion therapy is really disingenuous. They are using it to suggest that rather than helping children and adults identify the underlying issues related to their gender dysphoria, that the therapist would have to affirm the false belief that they were born in the wrong body and affirm that identity, that false identity. So that's one thing the Equality Act would do. And again, this is up to legal interpretation a little bit, but based on the things the Biden administration has been saying, the way he wants to push it, is that the Equality Act would require insurance companies to fund these transing interventions and also require doctors to partake in them, which would really undermine the religious freedoms of healthcare professionals who do not believe that it's possible to be born in the wrong body and that the appropriate care for these people who are struggling with difficult feelings is psychiatric support rather than damaging their bodies.
Tell us your story.
Well, as a child, I was pretty normal in kindergarten, and between kindergarten and first grade, I was sexually assaulted, and I developed that dissociative identity. I decided somehow I was a boy because I thought that was the only way I would be safe, as if I stopped being a girl. I had incredible shame about my female body, and all I wanted to do was to be anything but a girl, and I insisted to my first grade teacher I was a boy. I wanted to use the boys' bathroom. I wanted her to call me by the name I had chosen, which was Timothy, and I didn't want to be treated as a girl. And thankfully, this ideology had not taken hold, and she recognized that I was someone who needed some help, and she referred me to the school psychologist. and I was able to get, and again, we're talking here about cognitive behavioral therapy, psychotherapy, just basic talk therapy to help people understand the underlying issues that result in these very difficult feelings. And I'm so thankful that I was able to access those interventions, because if I were a child today, I would have been told by that teacher, and oftentimes mandated by teachers and doctors, that I was born in the wrong body and that the appropriate response would be for me to go ahead and get these medical interventions to masculinize my body, which would have rendered me infertile as well as damaged me. The suicide rates go up among those who are medicalized in this way, and the lifespan goes down. So there's no way to justify these kinds of interventions as healthcare. Again, it really is an evidence that this is a cult or an ideology or a religious belief system that is being pushed here. And it is in no way beneficial for the children who have gender dysphoria or the adults for us to pass something like the Equality Act, which would, again, undermine the basic rights and protections of girls, because the Equality Act would also allow boys to go into girls' restrooms if they claimed to identify as a girl. It would take away girls' rights in competitions because boys would be allowed to claim an identity of a girl and compete against girls. And we're seeing some of this now, the way this has just completely decimated the swimming world, as we have a man who's biologically intact who is claiming to be a woman and breaking all of the collegiate girls and women's swim records. And this is the kind of thing that we're going to see if the Equality Act is passed, is that any boy who claims to believe he's a girl will be allowed in to be competing in girls' sports, to be going into girls' bathrooms. This puts everybody at risk, and it just isn't, it's outrageous to me that our government and our president would embrace this ideology. And really, I think a lot of it is based on ignorance. I think Biden really doesn't understand the issues here. I think he's been misled, and I think that as president, it's his responsibility to know what the issues are. So either he's completely misled, or he thinks it's appropriate to retard the growth and development of children and to take away the rights and protections of girls and women.
Are children able to not only understand their circumstances, like in your case with sexual abuse, much less give consent and make decisions to these kind of procedures that it appears doctors and authority figures are so willing to impose on them?
And that's a really good question. I'm glad you asked it. I know that if I were a child at the time when I was struggling so much with a transgender identity, that I would have jumped at the opportunity to be medicalized, to masculinize my body. And that's because I wanted a quick fix. I wanted to feel better. One thing that a lot of people don't know is that testosterone, which is what they would have put me on as a child, is a controlled substance. And any girl who takes it is initially going to feel really good because she will get a burst of energy. She will get a boost of confidence. She will develop muscle mass. She'll just feel better initially. That doesn't mean it's the appropriate treatment. It means that we're giving her a steroid, and any child would initially have that bump. It would be much like giving a child heroin. You know, they're going to feel better initially, but in the long term, it's damaging. Kids, we protect them from these kinds of decisions because we know that they're not able to assess the long-term consequences. When I was in high school, I asked a doctor to sterilize me, and thankfully he said, come back when you're 30 and we'll talk. And I'm so grateful for that because I have three beautiful children that I would not have today if the doctor had assumed that at 15 I was capable of consenting to such a life-altering decision. We don't allow children to medically consent to most other interventions. And in this case, we definitely shouldn't allow these kids to consent because oftentimes they have significant underlying mental health issues that need to be addressed. We often hear these claims of suicidality that if we don't allow them to access these medical cares, they're likely to kill themselves. And again, that's, first of all, a horrible emotional blackmail. In no other case do we capitulate to demands of suicidal people. We usually get them immediate care if they're suicidal. But also it's encouraging children to believe that that's an appropriate response to not getting what they want. And someone who's suicidal isn't capable of consenting to life-altering medical interventions, and children aren't capable of consenting to lifelong medical interventions. So you know, that's two strikes. They're in neither case are they capable of providing informed consent. And finally, we don't have longitudinal studies about the impacts of these interventions. And so there's no way anybody can provide informed consent because doctors can't tell them what the damage is going to be in the long term. We know what the short-term damage is, and that's infertility, that's, you know, shorter lifespans, increased risk of stroke, but we don't know all of the long-term consequences. And so, you know, these children on so many levels are not capable of providing informed consent.
How do you explain the, I don't want to say popularity, but the explosion of gender dysphoria among young people, especially among young women?
Mm-hmm. And I think that Dr. Lisa Lippman did a great study where she showed that this was a social contagion. And we've seen social contagions in the past. This is something that's well documented. But what I think is happening is that one girl in a peer group identifies as transgender, gets the testosterone, and feels really good initially. And so her friends see that, and they want the testosterone too. And so it spreads throughout the peer group. And as this is happening, these girls are being told how brave and authentic they are. They're often celebrated by their teachers. You know, in the same way that other cults function, there's a technique called love bombing, where people within the trans activist community will just pour on, you know, the affirmation and the love and affection to these kids. And these are often kids who are struggling with mental health issues or who are on the autism spectrum, who've never experienced anything like that before. And suddenly they go from being maybe, you know, more of a marginalized kid to being one of the most popular kids in school and being able to dictate to teachers, you know, what names and pronouns they're able to use and being able to tell parents what to do provides them with a huge sense of power. So I think that, I mean, it's not surprising that there are so many kids who are suddenly developing a trans identity, especially when you look at these kids. Most of them come from, you know, white middle-class families. And currently in the schools, there's an ideology that's being taught called critical theory, which teaches kids that they're either the oppressor or the oppressed. And one way for a child to stop being in that oppressor category, which is the white, heterosexual, Christian person who's not trans-identified, is to announce a transgender identity. And so the child is being told that because of who they are the oppressor. But if they come out as transgender or a lesbian, bisexual, or queer, suddenly they are the oppressed person and they get to start to be centered in conversations and are no longer considered to be the oppressive group.
How do you explain the capitulation of the medical community in this, or in a sane world? Doctors watching this, and many are, I'm sure, would say we have a serious social and mental illness problem in our country. But it appears so many of them are just willing to go along with this, despite what they probably know better scientifically.
Well, and that's something that I find really sad. I've talked to doctor after doctor, to therapist after therapist, who knows this is wrong. But they also know if they speak out against it, they will be fired. They've seen trans activists effectively go after anybody who speaks out against this. One of the leading researchers in this area was Dr. Ken Zucker. And when he said that he didn't think that, you know, all kids should be put on puberty blockers and medicalized, he was just completely attacked by transgender activists. His practice was shut down. He was slandered. They said horrible things about him. And he eventually won a lawsuit, a wrongful termination lawsuit, but he went through incredible persecution as a result of just, you know, he wasn't even saying that there aren't transgender people. He just said that most kids who have a transgender identity will outgrow it if they're not medicalized. So these doctors are scared. They're afraid that they're going to lose their jobs. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of people who are strong spirited enough to stand up for kids. And I think most doctors never imagined it would get to the point that it's at right now. And you know, I'm just hoping at some point more and more will stand up and be willing to take the risk and say, saving our children from these horrible interventions is important enough for me to risk losing my job.
Dr. Erin Brewer developed a transgender identity after being molested in first grade. She's co-founder of Advocates Protecting Children and author of the books Always Erin and Transing Our Children. You'll find links to Advocates Protecting Children and these books at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Dr. Brewer, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you covering this important topic.
Pastor James Krikova joins us on the other side. We're going to discuss Lutheranism in Ukraine and in Russia. Stay tuned. You can meet and hear Bill Barr, Albert Moeller, Pavi Rossinen, Chris Roseborough, Brian Wolfmiller, Joel Bierman, and Will Whedon at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th in Chicago. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 24th and 25th at Concordia University, Chicago.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
America's tradition of liberty depends on having colleges and universities that equip young people for the responsibilities of freedom. At Concordia University Chicago, freedom is a pillar of our education. We prepare our students to live as free, self-governing citizens. I'm Dr. Rachel Ferguson, director of the Free Enterprise Center at Concordia Chicago. I invite you to visit us. Discover what it means for freedom to become a pillar of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.